Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. It's a Monday. It's a football Monday. It's a World Series Game 3 Monday, and those are great. Are they good? What's the good of the day?
The good of the day. I got to go all the way back to Friday night for the
good
of the day.
All right.
Yeah, because I loved it when this guy called out one of the superstars in baseball, when President Bush called out Derek Jeter.
All right.
Now, everyone knows about your love for the Texas Rangers organization. How excited are you? This is the first World Series since 2011. You have a chance to win.
No, I'm fired up. As are all the Ranger fans. We got a good team. Arizona's good. I think we're going to prevail in six games, but we'll see.
I picked you in six, too, as well.
Now, boy, yeah.
You're throwing out the first pitch today. You're no stranger to the first pitch.
I remember you well.
Yeah, and tell us how your feelings were back then as compared to now.
Well, back then, totally different environment. I'm loosening up. In comes the Yankee captain. Hey, Press. That was you. And I said, yeah. He said, you're going to throw from the mound? I said, what do you think? I would. And then as you left, you said, don't bounce it, they'll boo you.
Well, I tell you what.
All I thought about on the mound was you.
I tell you what, you're going to throw from the mound tonight?
No.
Well, this is Texas, so if you bounce it, they won't boo you.
No, no.
Good luck.
It doesn't matter now. Thank you, buddy.
Good luck to you.
That's such a great story.
It really is.
Don't bounce it, they'll boo you. World Series in 2001, 9/11, New York. Don't bounce it, they'll boo you.
Yep.
Imagine if he did bounce it and they booed him.
I don't think they would have.
I don't know.
Because,
not in the moment.
You know, I mean.
But it would have felt like normalcy back then.
What was funny when I was watching the game that Friday night, the crowd did break out to a USA chant, right?
When he came out, yeah.
When he came out, you know, but it didn't have that same oomph.
Oh, yeah. No, because
I just remember that USA.
We don't have that today.
Right, but I mean, that USA chant 2001, that was deafening.
Yeah. Now we've got people who all feel about this country all different ways. Right, so it's all different.
Yeah,
it's much different.
But it was almost like they broke out to the USA chant to hopefully recapture that moment.
Yeah, recapture the moment, sure.
But sure. Yeah,
it was so emotional back then. It was such a wild time.
Yeah,
it's hard to describe. Like when you have a younger generation, it's like it's almost foreign to them to be like we still had our political differences, but we all were loved the country. Like we didn't hate the country.
Yep.
Like now I feel like there's a generation that's being taught to hate the country. Now, like, you just didn't see that back then. Everyone was waving flags.
No,
everyone
we were all on the same page.
We may disagree on taxes. We may disagree on social benefits. We may disagree on health care. We may disagree on military spending. We could disagree on all that. But we were all unified in, it's because I want to make this country better than it is. Now it's like the country stinks. Most people don't, you know, young people are being told that this country's terrible and they don't love it.
Honestly, it's a lot of finger pointing. It's a lot of finger pointing. It's your fault. No, it's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. And it's just that's all we ever get to.
Right.
But no, but for me, it was just the fact that George Bush, President Bush, finally had the. I don't know if it was his first opportunity. I'm going to assume it wasn't. But I love the fact that publicly it was like, and you told me not to bounce. I'm calling you out.
Yeah. And that he might have. I mean, they don't really run in the same circles. So they might. That might have been the first time.
Yeah, it might have been.
You know, so it's not like it's not like Jeter would go there and see him and whatnot. But you never know. They can meet at charity functions and stuff.
Jeter just doesn't cruise to the White House all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he may have done that at other things. But probably the first time on TV. Jeter's an analyst now, and you know he's throwing out the first pitch, so he's going to be on television. So it's probably the only time on TV that they could do that. And we see that all the time where when it's on the camera, we'll do it. You know, do it again. By the way, speaking of Jeter real quick, there is an ad that he's in consistently that I don't like.
Okay.
Okay, and I don't like it, not because I don't like the product. I think the product's fine. I don't like the premise of it. And the premise of it is Jeter can't catch a flight to go home. You've seen this ad where it's too stormy. Do you watch television? Do you skip through the commercials?
I skip through commercials a lot.
You're not getting the Wagoneer commercial where he's at the airport.
Yes, yes, yes.
They can't fly.
Yeah.
He can't fly.
Yep.
And so he calls his wife, but then he gets in the Wagoneer, this $100,000 car, and he drives. And it's got It's got like wolf radar because at some point a wolf is going across the street and he's driving down to Miami. It's got radar that can determine if there's an animal in the front. Anyway, he's in this luxury vehicle, this pretty much a tank, and he's driving home through the horrible weather. And then he gets to his house and his wife, Hannah Davis, I think, or swimsuit model, with the kids.
Hannah Jeter now.
Hannah Jeter now. And they come out with the kids, and they're all excited to see him because he braved the conditions because he wanted to be home with his family. That is if you're a married person and have been married for a long time, this is a false environment that they're creating. If your wife tells you to rent a car or buy a car to drive in a horrific storm to get home, that's not a real thing. She would be like, stay there until it's safe, get in a hotel, drive, then you could drive home. The fact that she's like, yeah, you need to get down here. These kids are driving me crazy, and I don't care if there's a tornado blasting through or a hurricane coming through. Get in one of those big tank things with wolf radar and get down here as soon as possible. Click. I mean,
you said for better or worse.
Right, right, exactly. Go, I can't get down there, honey. This storm is shutting down the airports, and all the roads are treacherous to navigate, and I can't even see 2 feet in front of me. It's very hectic. They're not even allowing us to fly. And then she goes, you could rent a car. Click. That's the premise of that ad. Now, it could be he was like, I love my family so much, I want to get there. But your wife would tell you, stay there, come when it's safe. That was my gripe. Because I asked my wife.
I said,
would you make me rent a car? Like, would you make me get a... Well, he's not renting the car, but he got... Would you make me get one of those to drive home from place for hours and hours and hours? She goes, no.
Now, my question
I'd
make
you get in a hotel until they're cleared. Thank you, honey.
My question would be, like, you know, how long is the drive? I mean, you know, in this scenario is probably what, maybe a 6-hour drive?
No, in the ad, he's driving all night.
He's driving all night.
That's because the song is I Drove All Night.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah, she made him drive overnight in horrible weathers, according to the ad. Or his own personal desire to be home, fine. But more likely, she didn't tell him, drive all the way down here to South Florida. Be safe and drive down later.
Here, you know what? This is probably, here you go.
Right.
No, the commercial's playing right now.
Is it?
Yeah.
There you go. Exactly. And again, he drove so far into the night, they had to use wolf radar to determine that a wolf was crossing the road. Now, wolves come out at night. He was so deep into the evening, it was wolf time. And he had to be careful of wolves on the road, but that was okay because the car was... had the wolf radar ready to go to alert him that a wolf was present. Don't drive further. There's a wolf. There you go. It's a good ad for the car, though. The car does look good.
Like you said, the car's a tank.
The car's a tank.
You know, is it standard equipped or is it a little bit extra?
Yeah,
for the wolf radar.
For the wolf radar. You need
how much
the wolf
for
radar?
Fox radar?
Yeah, because if you know
a small household kitten radar.
I mean that car looked like it looked like he was driving an apartment. That's how big that car was.
Yeah.
It was one of those cars that was so big, an automatic stepping stool came out so you could climb into the big truck. Beautiful car. Beautiful. Good ad in premise, but the advertising department clearly is not a married person.
Well, I mean, I just saw the commercial. She looked very pleased that he came home.
Yeah,
nice
my wife would yell at me. Why did you drive all night in a tropical storm?
Because you told me to, honey.
You understand how much I need you around here? I'm doing this by myself with these three kids. We're not going. No, no, no. I'm not gonna get a phone call. Find you. Been washed away in the ocean because you decided to drive all night.
Or you
tank or no tank.
You got snowed in and froze to death.
Right. Exactly.
Because even though it is a tank of a car, gas only lasts so long.
That's right.
You know, there's nothing you can do about it.
Very true.
Unless it's an electric truck or electric SUV.
Yeah, right.
You know, it didn't run out of batteries.
Well, I blew that with the segment with my Derek Jeter advertising.
No,
rant.
That's okay.
So we got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna roll. We'll roll with the George Bush pitch for a second. Yeah, that was a pretty cool moment. It was a pretty cool moment.
It was.
They had the reminiscing of the 2001.
I know a lot of people were saying, another perfect strike. It was a little bit of a bounce, a little outside.
Yeah, getting older though.
But
how old is George Bush? 70 something now?
It's gotta
be,
right?
He was in his 50s. He was in his 50s when he was president. I'm going to look him up. George, is he a junior?
No, it's just George W.
Just George W. He was born in 1946. So he is now.
Yeah, he's 67. 77.
77. So yeah, he was, he was in his 50s when he was president.
Yeah.
So.
No, but he still looked good.
Still looked good.
Yeah, man, he looked spry. He got out there with confidence. I thought it was fun, like the little photos afterwards with Pudge Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Pudge got old.
Pudge did get old. Yeah,
but the little photos he was taking with him, it was like he was holding Pudge. Like, no, you got to smile at this camera. No, you got to do this one now.
I got to find out who's throwing out the first pitch tonight in Arizona.
Oh, there's two of them.
Oh, who?
Luis Gonzalez.
Oh, great.
And Randy Johnson.
Great. That's phenomenal.
Watch out,
that's
birds.
That's phenomenal. Watch out, birds. We'll have the bad and the dumb coming up next.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. We'll continue with Wake Up Call, the good, the bad, and the dumb. So the good was the first pitch for George Bush with his conversation with Derek Jeter. And as you mentioned, Luis Gonzalez and Randy Johnson throwing out the first pitch for the Diamondbacks tonight. Last time we saw them in the World Series, we saw Luis Gonzalez winning it. That's awesome.
That's what I remember.
All right, what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is that the NFL came out and said they will not be a safe harbor for Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, yeah, I did see this.
So, and they are citing precedent with, I just had the name and I'm blanking on it. Trestle. Jim Trestle, thank you.
Yeah, of Ohio State.
Yeah, so they're citing precedent with him saying, hey, they upheld suspensions that were handed down by the NCAA, mainly towards Terrell Pryor.
I might need to look this up later, but there was a coach or a player that was penalized in the NFL for something they did in college.
It could have been Terrell Pryor.
Because
he was,
they
upheld the NCAA's 5-game suspension.
Because they want to work in conjunction with this.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. They don't want to be a safe harbor for people to go, well, I'll just leave and I'll just become pro. And when you want, you have this partnership that's not an official partnership, right? Like the college is not officially the minor leagues of the NFL,
right.
But they know that's where their players are coming from, right? That they know that's where they go. So you want to have this cool, not this relationship. It doesn't really benefit or not benefit, but something of respect, I guess. Respect would probably be the better term to say when you penalize somebody, we're not going to just let them come here and make $1 million. Like we're going to honor what you're trying to do with your sport. We're not going to disrespect that and try to say, oh, you can get out of the silliness that they're doing by coming here and just making a fortune. I agree.
This is a bad for Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, it is a bad
because
for Jim
Harbaugh. I mean, whenever this punishment comes down, if it ever does come down, I mean, I'm still on the fence about, is it really illegal? Is it just going to be a slap on the wrist?
Too.
I really don't know what the end result is, even though the narrative keeps changing to everyone hating Michigan. But if a suspension comes down, and there have been rumors that it's going to be a pretty significant one, and it's going to really derail this program, Jim Harbaugh can't just, wipe his hands clean and go, all right, I'm taking my talents to name your NFL team. Which also surprises me because if an NFL owner really wanted Jim Harbaugh, because he has shown that he has success in the NFL.
Yeah.
Would he just hire him and go, okay, well, you have a 6-game suspension or a 10-game
suspension?
Yeah,
would they do that? Because, again, would you just go short-term pain for long-term gain?
Right.
Right? Would you say, look, in the end, I'm going to get this guy for 5 years on this contract. He doesn't have to coach the first 6 games of a 5-year contract. I'll take that every time. If that's the guy I really want. Right. If I really want him to be the head coach of my team, would I do it?
Is he still allowed to coach practices? Can't coach games. I'll take that, too.
Right. Same thing with like Deshaun Watson. Right. They knew the suspension was coming, but they're like, we can survive it because we will get him for this length of time. Same idea with Jim Harbaugh. Same thing. Same thing with any type of player that is you're trading but is under suspension. Like, yeah, I can put up with the short term problem. Because I'm going to get him long term. So I think that while he'll still get a deal, it's good to see the NFL going, but you know what? we are still not going to just let you jump right in and leave a troubled issue to come here, because that's not what we want to do. Like, we don't want this where coaches who's – we don't want to ruin – even if we have no direct financial tie in college football, we don't have a direct relationship with college football, we're not going to allow top coaches or players to circumvent their rules and then use us as a haven, because that gives us a bad image. And we're all about the image. We're all about protecting the shield. No, this isn't where you get to go make a mess of yourself and then get to be a pro. Right? You don't get to do that. But it, yeah, you're right. That's bad for Jim Harbaugh. He's going to have to face this music in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, you whatever know? That music might be.
But again, what music? I still don't get it.
I don't either. I mean, people are calling this like the worst crime in NCAA history. And I sit there. I had a conversation with a guy over the weekend because he was just, he's like, oh, man, what's going on? This Jim Harbaugh, he's done. And I'm like, yeah, but what did he do?
What exactly did he do?
What did he do?
So they sent a person to the games to steal signs. He, like I was saying last week, all he did was break a rule of you can't send a person to a game. The sign stealing is like secondary. It's sort of implied first that you can't do the second.
Even in the sign stealing, it's like, you know, what I was explaining to this guy, I said, listen, you know, we see a game run on TV. Right, we see it, and they give us the camera angles that they choose to show us to make a good story, make a good television show, you know, make it entertaining. That's all we see. They have so much more film that it's ridiculous.
Right.
And, you know, it would be easy. I mean, you know, have a cameraman just be able to focus on a coach giving signs and just say, you know, just keep it, you know, this, that, that for, you know, research purposes.
It's not a direct analogy, but it's like counting cards
right
in a casino. People think counting cards is illegal, like against the law. It's not against the law. They just can kick you out.
Yeah.
Like they're allowed
it's
to kick you out.
It's frowned upon.
It's frowned upon, but it's not illegal. Like, you're not getting arrested and booked. Now, if you use an electronic device, that's illegal.
But if you're Rain
Man.
If
you use your brain.
If you're Rain Man and you can count.
Yeah, if you're Rain Man, you can do it. But they have the right as a public club, as a casino, to say, you're not invited back here anymore. Yeah. You can't play here anymore.
In fact, I mean, you're one of the easiest ways, because they always use a six-card deck in blackjack. One of the easiest ways to count cards is just remember that there's I got to remember, but you just count.
You don't even.
You just count. You just, all you really need to remember is how many jacks, queens, kings, and aces have been used.
Right.
Intense.
But the overall point of that is sign stealing illegal in college football if I've done it within the game? No. Mm-hmm. Okay, so can I, if I'm playing an opponent and I notice a trend, if my coach is in the game, so we're playing Ohio State and I know Ohio State's doing X, Y, and Z, and I'm stealing that sign in real time, is that illegal? No, it's not.
Now,
why can't I steal it by sending a guy on the road? Because I'm not allowed to send the guy on the road.
Right.
That's the infraction.
Now the other rumor that's still floating out there that I still have not found whether or not it was true is that if they in fact were sharing information.
That's the one thing you brought up last week. That's right. That's troublesome. If
that's true, then yeah, now we're into another area.
Another level of this. But again, if I can steal signs in a real game where I'm playing the opponent, but I can't steal signs when I send the guy on the road, the sign stealing isn't really the issue. The issue is, how did I steal the signs?
Yeah.
So if it's sending somebody, that's all he's guilty of, is like sending somebody to an opponent's game.
Right. It's like stealing catcher signs. You know, when you're in baseball, you shouldn't do it. But that's why I can't remember which pitcher it was. We talked about it, where the pitcher intentionally balked.
Yeah.
But he had to intentionally balk twice because the umpire didn't catch it the first time. And it was simply because there was a guy on second and he needed one more out. He's like, no, I want this guy over at third so he can't look at what my catcher catcher signs are.
So, yeah, it's still, I don't know.
Yeah, my hands are up in the air for that one too. I have no clue whether or not this is a bad thing. But if it is a bad thing, say, you know, NCAA – gets them on, you know, sharing signs with other school, gets them on, you know, paying the school, paying this guy to travel from one stadium to another stadium to another stadium, or coming out of Harbaugh's pocket himself. All those suspensions, whether it's a four-game suspension or a full-year suspension, would be carried into the NFL.
Right, right.
Because the NFL says, you know, we are not a safe harbor.
You want to tease the dumb of the day, and then we'll hit it
up?
Oh,
of course.
All right, go ahead and tease it.
The tease of the dumb of the day is that I think another rule change is needed.
Another rule change is needed?
Yeah.
All right.
Because there was something that happened on Saturday that I just don't like anymore. I don't get.
Is it college football?
It's college football.
All right.
Yeah, it happened in college football. It's just, you know what? It's like when you try to define a catch and they had to keep going back and say, well, this is a catch. No, this is a catch. No, wait, we got it now. This is it. I feel this way. I feel this is something that needs redefining or rechanging or changing altogether. Okay. Or maybe not making it illegal anymore. I don't know.
So we'll have that for you in the dumb of the day coming up when we because I don't want you to give it away yet.
No. We're not going to give away anything.
Okay. Real quick. Before you've tried, you probably tried pain relief creams, but most of them barely work, if at all. If you're ready for something completely different, I found it. It's called Capsiva. Capsiva, a scientific breakthrough in joint pain relief by capturing the medicinal power of capsaicin, eliminating the burn and smell. Capsiva absorbs fast, no odor, and it works homeopathic with natural active ingredients. Stop living in pain. Get Capsiva now. Find it at Meijer, Kroger Pharmacy, and select CVS stores. Also, it's a use-it-all 100% money-back guarantee. Use the entire thing, and if you're not satisfied, you can send it back for a full refund. It also has no known side effects and no known drug interactions. Safe to take with your other medications, unlike some of those other pain relief creams. Capsiva. All right, we come back. The rule change that may need to be a rule change coming up. It's Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, so what is this rule that you wish was changed in college football?
All right, if you...
But this is the dumb of the day.
This is the dumb of the day. If you weren't watching Colorado versus UCLA, you missed when Shiloh Sanders was ejected from the game for his hit that was a targeting hit on UCLA running back Carson Ryan. Now, this is where I feel that this is... I don't dispute that it was a harsh foul, and that maybe it's a 15 yard penalty, but I don't believe he should have been ejected from the game.
The ejection is really hard for me because you can see like speed to speed, like in real time, you're just going for a hit.
Yeah.
It's a little too close. It's not intentional. And I think ejection is. It should be used for intentional. And I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to say, look, if we throw the threat of ejection, right, then it's going to really make people think how they hit receivers, how they make contact with another player, really making sure that it's with the body, not the helmet, et cetera. But in this sport, those helmet-to-helmet collisions, those things are going to happen. And in targeting is this really arbitrary thing at times where it's close. Ejections are just... It's really, just, really harsh.
The problem I have with this is that it didn't really feel like it was targeting.
No, I didn't think
like it was. I look at targeting as this, is that, you know, you're looking at this guy and you're like, I'm going to end his world.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to drive my helmet into him. And I mean, looking at him, especially when you slow it down, I mean, he was leading more with his shoulder.
It's not something
I don't think he was aiming his helmet for his helmet.
Right. I don't think it's something that's like, look, there's some absolute targeting that's targeting. But when you then go, where's the gray area? It's the gray area that's the troublesome part, right?
Right.
It's not like speeding, right? When you go 1 mile an hour over the speed limit, you are speeding. Are you going to get pulled over? Probably not, unless it's a cop on a quota. But very, very unlikely you're going to get pulled over for 1 mile an hour over speed limit. But that's objective. That is not objective. That is, I mean, meaning it's absolute. Like if the speed limit's 35 and you're going 36, you're speeding, right?
Yep.
This is not that. It's like this gray area of, okay, is it? Oh, there's the angle. Oh, it's real time football.
For me, I can make the concession that it maybe was unnecessary roughness, 15 yard penalty. I don't even think it was that though. I mean, this sport is violent. right? And I mean, I get that. I don't know. I just the hits that used to be hard hits that were celebrated at one point in time are now. I mean, we can't. I guess we can no longer have them.
Yeah, that's the problem. Is with people are saying, you hear like Robert Griffin III saying, "What's happened to the football that I love?" Well, I mean, it's trying in its best vein to eliminate devastating head-to-head collisions, which we, I think we all agree that's not necessary, but it's unavoidable. So it's what happens when you get it, this is what you're doing, right? Do you want to eliminate people using their helmet as a missile? Of course. But do we want to then get to a point where the gray area is taking out decent enough hits that when you watch them, you go, well, that's ridiculous. Like, to get ejected for that, now what are we doing with the sport? That's where I think that's the problem. And they're trying to make sure that these defenders think, but because the bar is lower and lower and lower, it's almost like now you're afraid to tackle somebody. You got to be able to hit guys. That's just the way the sport is. That's what the sport is. You can't just not you can't have, you know, it's not flag football out there. It's rough. And even though, yeah, there are some where you go, yeah, that's terrible. But there's others that are like that one where you're like, ejection? He can't play the rest of the game?
Yeah, that's what I didn't get. I mean,
I didn't get it either.
Just that quick and bold. I mean, and the problem that I have with it was they took their time with it. I mean, it was in review that they determined that it was an ejection.
And that's right.
And that's where my problem was like, okay, you reviewed the play. I will concede 15-yard penalty, okay? Even though I don't think it was unnecessary roughness. I don't think he was purposely trying to hurt him. But I'll concede that, a 15-yard penalty, because that's just the way football is now.
I will say this. Here's my thing. I know this is probably not popular. If you are helmet-to-helmet, intentional or not, 15-yard penalty, I will go down that road. Because you want to take that out of the game. And sometimes holding is an accident, but it's still a penalty. Right? Sometimes roughing the kicker is an accident, but it's a penalty. Sometimes roughing the passer is an accident, but it's a penalty. We cannot go down the road of intent.
Yeah.
If you go helmet to helmet, 15-yard penalty.
But
targeting, but then labeling targeting and then ejection, that implies intent.
And that's where And that's where I was having an issue, because it was in review that they ejected him.
Right.
And I just didn't get that. I was like, you're saying, okay, we slowed it down. I mean, you know, we're looking at it this way. We're looking at real speed. Now we're slowing it down again. And it's determined by us that he did that on purpose. Well, yeah, he did that on purpose.
Yeah, that's the problem.
You know, but was he trying to, you know, annihilate the guy? No, he was making a hit. You know,
I think if you watch something in video where you feel like the defender could have changed his course, but stayed with the idea of driving his helmet first into the person, then I think that if you see that, okay. But if you're starting to imply intent on regular hits in a bang bang play like that was, now we're getting into the gray area of ejecting people based on your opinion of what you think was in the mind of the player, rather than something that's concrete. Like I said, helmet to helmet, that's a 15-yard penalty. Intention or not, does not need to be, because that's too tricky. Just say, you know what? Sorry, guy. It's a helmet to helmet.
15 yards.
It's a penalty. It's 15 yards. That's just the way it is. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. If we have to make you think a little bit more, making you think a little bit more. Yeah, like, but then telling that kid that he can't play, he's out, possibly suspended next game based on the severity of, like, that's silly.
I almost feel like if you're going to eject someone, make it worthwhile. If a player takes off his helmet and starts using that as a weapon,
right? Make ejection really egregious.
Yeah. Not just because, okay, you did a football hit that just is unfavorable now.
That's right.
There was a little more addendum to the dumb of the day, because this one made me laugh, because it was when Deion Sanders said that he was really mad at his O-line.
Yeah.
And that he might replace them all.
Right.
And the part of that dumb is, I kind of believe he would do it.
He's down. Here's the problem. Deion is down to, he's down to backup offensive linemen. Like, he's got so many injuries that's what he's down to. Now, I have heard some critics of Deion Sanders, and there are a few that's really are making case, that have made the case that offensive line and defensive line, these are two things Colorado is severely deficient at. They've got some good skill players, but they really lack bodies. that Dion is not, this is, now this is their analysis. I don't, it's not mine, but this is what they're saying, that it's going to be very difficult to recruit those players because those players, those type of players are really looking for coaches that can make them better at that.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't think that Dion can make them better at that. If you're a wide receiver, you're a defensive back, even if you're a quarterback, you're a skill offensive player, Dion probably has got some tools for you. But some of these guys, like, they go to Alabama because Alabama has built a reputation on taking you and your skill set to the next level as an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman. There are other programs in the country that are capable of doing this, that he won't get those kind of players to Colorado. Now, I don't know. Dion can sell me anything he wants. He could probably sell my laptop to me and I own it, right? I'd probably give Deion Sanders money for the laptop I already own. He's that good. So I'm not going to put it past Deion to be able to get those kind of players. But if that is a problem for him to recruit that level, he's got a problem. And by the way, I will say, and I'm not a big Deion critic, but I have criticized some of the coverage of Deion. I will say the one thing that disappointed me, he took blame for the, after the game, he took blame for the game, saying we as coaches have to do better. But then in the post-game press conference that he had to do with the media, he then threw them under the bus. I would have consistently said, my fault, my fault, my fault, my fault. Even if you have to be a little dishonest, you don't have to be so honest that you are have to tell everything that's on your mind when you're a coach. But he's got a real problem because they can't protect that kid. Shador?
Yeah.
He is getting absolutely
blasted.
He's
getting mauled
back
there now.
He's getting completely mauled. What UCLA did, it was you almost felt bad for him. You've seen quarterbacks play behind bad offensive lines,
mm-hmm.
and you just go, God, somebody please block for this kid. This kid can't breathe. That was Shador Sanders for Saturday night. You just watch that going, he is getting blown up. But call something different. Call some short passes. Call something that allows the quarterback to not just get his butt handed to him. Call something different. Instead, they were just making him go downfield, making him go downfield, and he didn't have time. He had no time. All right, we will continue. Hour three coming up. We'll talk to Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk, on the NFL. More thoughts on the weekend that was in the NFL. Game 3 of the World Series tonight. Diamondbacks and Rangers tied at 1. It's all coming up.